And a good day to all of you. This is John Ethan. Welcome to Global Patriot Radio and my show, Introspection. Hope all of you have had a good week. I know I have. As we continue to participate in the saga of the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings, which is going to be my headline as I continue to talk us through this menagerie of confusion with our Senate and with the characters that are all involved in confirming who I think is an innocent man. Not to take away from his accuser, but to only say to his accuser, where's the evidence? To only say to his accuser, what if it were your son or your husband or someone in your family that was being accused with no evidence? To only say to his accuser, who put you up to it? So that's where we are. Continuing headlines continue to come out. I am amazed at the fact that we still have politicians, senators, who are allowing themselves to be sucked into this thing. When I spoke to you last Wednesday, we hadn't come to the hearings yet. The hearings were the next day, and we hadn't come to the hearings where Senator Flake of Connecticut was absconded during the break of the confirmation hearings in the elevator by two women that addressed the fact that there needed to be an FBI investigation, that there needed to be more information garnered from the accusations of his accuser, that there needed to be more emphasis put on the person being accused, Justice Kavanaugh. Coming back to the hearings after that, it would seem that Senator Flake had an epiphany, and it would seem that he was going to scuttle the entire hearing when he came up with the idea that his vote would only go through if there were to be a week-long investigation by the FBI, scoping that investigation only with those things that were in question, and going to talk to those individuals that had not been spoken to yet or had not gone on record under oath. And ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what happened. And it was almost as if when this happened, there was a silent victory chant by the Democrats, because they had, in some cases, beat the Senate, beat the majority Republican Senate out of gaining more time to allow this farce and injustice to continue where we are now. But as this continues to go on, there continues to be even more, I think, information coming out that the accuser is not as innocent as we would have to believe. For instance, Fox News came out in a written declaration released Tuesday that a boyfriend, a former boyfriend from 1992 to 98, whose name was redacted in the declaration, said that Ford neither mentioned Kavanaugh nor mentioned she was a victim of sexual misconduct during the entire time that they were dating, from 1992 to 1998. He said that he saw Ford going to great lengths to help a woman he believed was her long life best friend prepare for a potential polygraph test. He added that the woman Monica Moline had been interviewing for jobs with the FBI in the U.S. Attorney's Office. Now, this is in sharp contrast to what Ford claimed about not ever having any type of lie detection conversations, advice, training, anything like that, when she was asked these questions during the hearing that she was asked to attend. She was asked very pointed questions by the prosecutor that came in from, I believe it was in Mexico. And she emphatically said no to every question about her previous knowledge of having any conversations, any type of advice being given on lie detection. Now, this woman is trained in psychology. She's a doctor. Could it be that she actually lied under oath? Even greater doubts in her accusatory remarks about Justice Kavanaugh, and it questions her character, her credibility, and her story. And to me, as this continues on, I do believe that it's driving the Democrats or those that would want her story to hold up further and further into a hole as they try to prop this thing up with all kinds of different measures, and it continues to fall apart. And the reason why it continues to fall apart is because it is held up by a foundation of mud. There's no truth in it. There's no concrete evidence in it. So it's just being held up and propped up by everything that is not true, causing it to be, I think, a farce. Now, as we continue to look at this story and we continue to understand the methods and tactics and techniques that are used by the liberals, there is a pattern that continues to develop in this. And I don't know about you, but I find it very strange that this pattern just continues to come up. It just seems like there is a group of these liberals going in a back room, talking about the next story of how they're going to continue to disrupt, how they're going to continue to keep, I guess, the president, the government, from functioning properly through all of these different stories, accusations, whatever they can dream up. To me, it is extremely well organized, and that can only lead me to think that there are a number of folks who are within our government, key people who are within our government and without our government, that are working together. I believe that we have here a failure to appreciate what I'm saying. And in our failure to appreciate it, it is hurting good people and hurting people that we need to protect. This should come as no surprise because this is something I believe that has been going on with Democrats for a long, long time. I believe it was going on all the way back in Reconstruction as our country was coming out of a civil war and we had carpetbaggers and all types of folks coming from the North down to the South trying to rebuild the South. And Jim Crow laws began to come up and prop up out of nowhere, keeping Black Americans from leaving slavery freely and going for opportunities and pursuing opportunities that they were within their right to pursue, and being continually held down by Jim Crow laws, which were all driven through Democratic means, Democrat Party. So I think it comes all the way from that point, all the way up to present day, where we now have very key people within the Democratic Party and very key people from these organizations being started by Soros. If you want to, I mean, Acorn being one of them, there are several of them. There are several of them that are working together with, I believe, very key people within our government to disrupt, attain their objectives. This is very important what I'm saying here, because what I'm saying is I'm not a conspiratorialist. I don't believe in that, but I do believe in facts. And if you really look at history and look at the people that are very key in within the Democrat Party that had very key philosophy, you understand what I'm meaning, which is what I'm going to spend the, I guess, preponderance of my time talking about for the next 35 minutes, a guy by the name of Saul Alinsky and what this man stood for. I want to read a quote about this man, and then I'm going to go on break. I want you to ponder this quote, and I'll tell you about this gentleman when I come back. Saul Alinsky, and I quote, "Lest we forget, at least an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical, hyphen, from all our legends, mythology, and history, in parentheses, and who is to know where mythology leaves off and history begins, or which is which, close parentheses. The first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom, hyphen, Lucifer." That's the guy I want to talk about. And his name is Saul Alinsky. And folks, when I come back, I want to hear what you have to say after I talk about this gentleman. We'll be back in about, let's give it about 60 seconds. And I'm back, ladies and gentlemen, but before I get started, I wanted to tell you who's coming up the rest of the weekend, who will be starting in the beginning of the next week. Yesterday, of course, Kel was on. Infidels are watching you. Kel comes on at 6 p.m. Myself, of course, at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today. Thursday, we have Paul Sutloff, Civilization Jihad Awareness. That comes on at 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Friday, Dr. Carl Goldberg, The Logic of Islam, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Saturday, Minister Usama Dakdar and Christie, Revealing the Truth About Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 12. On Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan with Radio Free Kafiristan. That starts at 5 p.m. And then on Monday, Vito and Al, Mama Mia No Sharia, 6 p.m. Okay. So I told you about Saul Alinsky's quote. Tell you a little about this gentleman. He was born in 1909, west side of Chicago. He was born as a, I guess you could say, Marxist. And he was known as a community organizer. Does that sound familiar? Being also from Chicago, that should sound a little bit familiar. He identified himself as a communist Marxist. Although I should add that he never really joined any type of communist party, in fairness to him. He never did. He, of course, was a part of the Chicago political and I would say democratic groups that during that period of time were very, very pro-union. He was the son of Jewish parents, Russian Jewish parents. And he understood that in order to gain influence, there were things you needed. You either needed a lot of people or you either needed a lot of money. He understood that. And I will get into that a little later. But he goes on to write in great detail about that in a book called Rules for Radicals. Get into this book, and I will get into people that embrace that book from very high places in our government, like former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and former President of the United States Barack Obama. And I will talk a little bit about them and how they used his TAC procedures to gain objectives that probably would not ordinarily have been gained. And it is unbelievable if you will see the patterns in how he was able to do this, how they were able to do this. A few more quotes just before I get started on that. I believe that we should understand that Saul Alinsky used these types of methods, his methods, I believe, in a very artful way of gaining the support of those folks that he probably ordinarily would not have gained. You know, it should be understood from the very beginning that he always believed that the end justified the means. He was a very, I believe, focused person. And I'm going to talk about this focus that he had, this powerful focus that he had, when I talk about his rules. And he coined these rules in that book that I've just spoken to you about, Rules for Radicals. He coined these rules within that book, and his book gained variety as a result of those rules. And when I read these rules to you, you will understand that these rules are being used by the groups I've talked to you about previously in my discussions today extremely effectively now. I want to talk to you about these rules. I want to get through every one of them. Rule one, power is not only what you have, what the enemy thinks you have. Power is derived from two main sources, as I told you before, money and people. Haves, have-nots. And the have-nots must build power from flesh and blood. There are two things of which there is plentiful supply. Government and corporations always have a difficult time appealing to people, and usually do so almost exclusively with economic arguments. Rule one. Rule two. Never go outside the expertise of your people. It results in confusion, fear, and retreat. Organizations under attack wonder why radicals don't address the real issues. The real issues. This is why they avoid things with which they have no knowledge. And what are those things? Those things are called the truth. And if they can avoid the truth by creating discourse, by creating untruths, then what they do is they suck all the oxygen out of the room and force folks that don't want to be, I would say, courageous in pointing out the truth, folks that don't want to be ridiculed as being a racist or being a there's many things that they've accused people of being. They force them to keep quiet so that they can attain their own goals. They take that freedom of speech and freedom of the truth out of the picture, because that's not what they're here for. That's not what they're there for. They don't care about that. And I believe that's what the Republicans have to understand. They don't care. The fact that Senator Flake was able to be sucked in by, I don't know if you got a chance to see it on TV, the way he was rushed at that elevator and the vitriolic, I would say, just looking at the way he was being spoke to. I don't know that I could have stood there and allowed that. It almost, to me, looked like they wanted to intimidate him by yelling and screaming in that elevator at him. And that's exactly what they're after. And you saw what happened as a result of that. So that, I believe, is very important. Rule three, whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. Look for ways to increase insecurity, anxiety, uncertainty. And this happens all the time. Watch how many organizations under attack are blindsided by seemingly irrelevant arguments that really go nowhere, but they're forced to address. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar in what's happening right now with Justice Kavanaugh? Does that sound familiar to what happened to President Trump? Let me ask you something. Why is it that Keith Ellison, the gentleman that I believe is running for attorney general in his state of Minnesota, who was previously a congressman, why is it that the allegations that were brought against him by his girlfriend of assault and abuse have not been addressed to the degree that they're being addressed with Justice Kavanaugh? You're not hearing anything about it. And to an even greater degree, why is it that the Republicans aren't forcing that issue, aren't pushing that issue? Why aren't they using those same measures against the Democrats or against those individuals that are bringing discourse into our government? Because the way I see it, if you don't do those types of things, you're going to continue to be on the defensive, and I think get blindsided. And this is exactly what Alinsky is talking about. Rule four, make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. If the rule is that every letter gets a reply, send 30,000 letters, because no one can possibly obey all of their own rules. This is a serious rule. The besieged enemy entities, rather, very credibility and reputation is at stake, because if activists catching it, lying or not, living up to it in its commitments, they can continue to chip away at the damage. And again, these are things that they are continually doing. These are things that I believe they're trying to attack Kavanaugh on. Kavanaugh is a human being. Kavanaugh had a childhood. Kavanaugh had he was a young man. He was top of his class in high school, top of his class in college at Yale. But he also played hard. He worked hard. He played hard. Yeah, he drank. He drank at a legal age. I know many people drank at illegal ages, had fun with his friends. And to see what went on in those hearings about talking about flatulation and all these things when the man was in high school, is that what we're about to be judged on? Is that what our Supreme Court justices are about to be judged on, what they did in high school? And the very senators that are attacking him, Senator Blumenthal, a man that lied and said that he had participated in some of the worst conflicts in Vietnam, never went to Vietnam. And I believe I misspoke. Senator Blumenthal is Connecticut. I believe I said that Senator Flake wasn't. I misspoke on that. Sorry. But in how I look at things, you have people that are passing judgment on other people that can't, I believe, on a very good day, rise to the social, I believe, or the social and also academic achievements of this man. Justice Kavanaugh. Rule 5. Ridicule is a man's most potent weapon. There is no defense. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It also works as a key pressure point to force the enemy into concessions. Pretty crude and mean, isn't it? They want to create an anger and fear within people that foster them to go out and do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do. You see this happening. You see this ridicule of this man. You see the ridicule of President Trump. You see the ridicule of anyone that they are targeting, that they go after. And this is in this man's book. And you will see when I talk a little bit about President Obama, and also talk a little bit about Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, that they embraced these rules. They used these rules. They taught these rules. Saul Alinsky and his contributions to the Democratic Party, I think, live on and continue to have great effect on the way they operate. I don't even know that Democratic Party can identify itself with what the people that had previously come before it. I don't know that I can even address it as the Democratic Party anymore. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is morphed into. And for that matter, I don't know what the Republican Party is morphed into. Rule 6. A good tactic is one your people enjoy. A good tactic is when your people enjoy. They'll keep doing it without urging and come back and do more. They're doing their thing. And we'll even suggest better ones. Radical activists in this sense are no different than any other human being. We all avoid unfun or fun things that we don't find fun doing, but we reveal at the enjoyment, the ones that work and bring results. So I believe that you have a method and a methodology that appeal to the folks that are participating in it. And what am I saying here? I'm saying that those folks that walk into restaurants and disturb people with their families eating because they don't believe what they believe, I'm saying that they enjoy it. I'm saying that they see this as a cause. They don't care what the truth is. And that's the thing that I want to make sure that I get across. These people do not care about the truth. The truth does not matter to them. The fact that we are taking another week to do these hearings doesn't matter. Their objective is for him not to be confirmed. It doesn't matter that he is being ridiculed. Doesn't matter that his family is being called out. Doesn't matter that they have brought dispersions on his 11-year-old daughter. They don't care. Their mission, again, is for him not to be confirmed. So, as I said before, they won the first round here. Last week, when this week we are doing another investigation by the FBI. They won. Because why? There was no vote happening. Saul Alinsky. This is all of the rules that he's trained or that he's written and that they train to. Rule 7. A tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. Don't become old news. Even radical activists get bored. So to opposition, masters one approach. They want to keep you engaged. They want to keep you with your eyes on the prize. So They want to constantly change tactics to keep their supporters, their participators in this endeavor, employed in doing what they're doing. And to do that, they have to constantly change the story. So what do you see happening now? Now they're going after this man's drinking habit. It's no longer that he allegedly assaulted Miss or Dr. Ford. It's no longer that. Now they're talking about his drinking and whether his behavior is worthy of being on the Supreme Court. You hear Cory Booker talking about it, former mayor of Newark, senator now of New Jersey. Well, I don't know whether he has the credibility and the decorum to, and these are not his exact words, I'm paraphrasing, and the decorum to be a life Supreme Court justice. I don't know. When you look at the way he behaved during the hearings, and well, it brings question to his self-control. Really, Corey? Really? That's how you feel? I'm sorry, Senator Booker. Didn't you say that you fondled a woman while you were, I believe, in high school or college? Didn't you say you fondled her and she pushed your hand away several times and you came back and you fondled her again? How are you yourself in a position to pass judgment on anybody? So if you do that, Senator Booker, then I want to question your behavior. I want to question your credibility. I want to question whether you have the decorum to be in the Senate. And by the way, if you were able to watch him, how he theatrically said what he had to say last weekend, got up and walked out of the chamber, and then later came back, of course, to vote. It was amazing. It was all an act. The man's going to run for president, and please, I want him to run. He should run. But my point is, they are now switching. They're now switching the tactic because it's not going to work. You see, folks, they'll damage and they'll destroy a person, and they'll just keep going, and they don't care. And I believe that the Republicans did this man and his family, Justice Kavanaugh or Judge Kavanaugh, a disjustice when they allowed this to happen. But it was allowed to happen by one man, Senator Flake, one man that wouldn't vote until this was done. And you have to wonder, wow, what was that about? Rule 8, keep the pressure on. Never let up. Keep trying new things to keep the opposition off balance. As the opposition masters one approach, hit them from the flank with something new. Attack, attack, attack. What's happening, folks? Is that happening? Are they continuing to attack? Are they keeping up the pressure? President Trump has been in office for almost 2 years. Have you seen any relent of pressure? Have you seen any degree of compromise? Have you seen any acknowledgement to the accomplishments of this administration? Probably the most successful 2 years of maybe the top two or three presidents we've ever had in office. And there is absolutely no acknowledgement of that. They don't care how good the country is doing. You have to understand that. You can't reason with these people. They don't care about that. That's not what's important to them. What is important to them is gaining power. This is really, they are treating their own country and a person that was duly elected by the people of this country as an enemy. They're treating him as an enemy. And it doesn't matter what you think or what I think. It is all in what they believe. It is all in what their objectives are. It is all in what in direction they're going in. And the direction that they're going in is the destruction of this country. Because everything that has been built, everything that has been accomplished to this point is going to go away if they get what they want. And what they want, control of the legislation, in other words, the Supreme Court. They don't want this balance to go on the side of conservatism. They don't want a man in there that stands for the Constitution. They want to take control of Congress again. And I guarantee you, if they do, they will put in a measure for impeachment. They will do that. They've said they do it. If a person keeps telling you who they are, believe them. If a group keeps telling you who they are, believe them. And this is the path that they're going down. Rule 9. The threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. The threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. Imagination and ego can dream up many more consequences than any activist. Perception is reality. Large organizations always prepare a worst-case scenario, something that may be farthest from the activist's mind. But when they do that, when they do that, these organizations become enamored in trying to prevent something. So that's exactly what they want. They want these organizations, or whoever their target is, to be enamored with something else so that they can come back and continue to attack until they wear you down. One of the most amazing things I can say about President Trump is that he refuses to be worn down. He is almost doing this on his own. That, to me, is incredible. It is really incredible that he is able to do that. And it speaks to this man's focus and character. Because if you didn't have a person like that, and a person that relented and gave in and was politically correct, there is no way he would have accomplished what he's been able to. And even now, I'm telling you, Americans are waking up. I know it doesn't seem that way, but I really, truly believe that they are. They're starting to see what's happening because they're starting to look at different forms of opinion and different ways of getting information. And they're questioning things now. Maybe not outwardly, but I do believe inwardly. In the private conversations I do have with some of my liberal friends, tell me that. A negative hard enough, it will push through and become a positive. If you push a negative hard enough, it will push through and become a positive. Violence from the other side can win the public to your side because the public sympathizes with the underdog. Think about that. I told you previously that in a former life, Alinsky was nested with unions and what to do about unions. And it should also be pointed out that during that time, unions were very pro-communist. And what was forced, what they tried to do through Alinsky, through these unions, was to antagonize the corporation or factory owners into bringing in, of course, these scabs to either prevent a strike or if a strike was going on, to allow the scabs, those folks coming across the picket line, to come in to continue to work so that the owners of these factories could continue work. But as that happened, violence began to occur. And as they created this violence and allowed themselves to be beaten up and allowed the press to come in and see those things, well, what did that do? Well, of course, that brought the public to feeling a very deep connection with those union folks that were being beaten and forced them to their side. Now, look, I'm not saying who's right and who's wrong in this. What I'm pointing out is a tactic. I'm pointing out a tactic, and it was used quite effectively with unions back in the early 20th century, which enabled unions to become extremely powerful during the 20th century. And only it's been only in very the last 30, 40 years that they've lost a lot of that power. And these were one of the tactics. Remember where this man was born. 1909, Chicago. Rule 11, the price of successful attack is a constructive alternative. Never let the enemy score points because you're caught without a solution to the problem. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is one of the most important rules of the day. The reason why I say that is because they don't have a solution. That is why I believe that good and truth will prosper and come ahead of this. The last rule, and probably the rule that sticks the most with people about Saul Alinsky. Pick the target, freeze it, tunnelize it, and polarize it. Cut off the support network and isolate the target from sympathy. Go after the people and not institutions. People hurt faster than institutions. I really don't need to say anything more on that, because that is exactly what has happened to Judge Kavanaugh and his family. So, folks, I'm right at 1 minute and 45 seconds. I'm done. I hope you got something out of this, and I hope that you will research this and become very aware of what's happening to our country. It was a pleasure being with you today. See you next week. This is John Ethan. Bye.
Future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
Chumba.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.